the caucus, not with the beginning, but we're going to go to ordinance number 2021-64 and -65. And 2021-64 is ordinance accepting the proposal of Anthem ERC Health for group medical, prescription drug, dental, vision, and life insurance coverage for all eligible city employees from July 1st, 2021 through June 30th of 2022. And then ordinance number 2021-65 is ordinance accepting the proposal of the James B. Oswald Company for professional insurance broker services for the purchase of health care insurance for the city. And Mayor, I don't know if you wanted to hand it, is Leticia on or? Yeah, Leticia is there. Well, whoever wants to start the discussion on these two pieces of legislation. And I wanted to comment, Leticia sent us a wonderful memo that really explained, you know, the whole process and how that committee came to their conclusion. So, Mayor, I'll let you have it.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Mayor. We start out sometimes looking for one thing and we discover there's something else that's just as important. And I think that this past year with the pandemic and this new experience with Oswald and the emphasis on wellness really shed some light on this year's proposals, as well as the direction that the committee and the administration, hopefully that council will approve. And I think it became so important that we had a 88% of the staff took advantage of this wellness program, which is pretty important and significant in that it ends up with some reductions and cost savings as a result of the engagement by our workforce. So Leticia put this together, and we had, as you saw in the memo, we had a number of respondents. When we finally narrowed it down, there were a number of different silos that had to be blended together, but suffice to say, and I think Councilwoman Capusta sat on the committee, and it were determined that we would stay with Oswald and continue this wellness approach to our health care, with the long overarching goal being to save us money. It's an extensive cost item between the HSA and the cost of health insurance. You're talking, $3 million. It's a lot of money. And it needs a full vetting. And I believe that with the HR director effort and the administration's support and the committee's deep dive, we were able to accomplish something. Leticia, do you have anything else you want to add?
I think that's a great summary. The city ended up net with a 1.27% increase, had some terrific options in front of them. The committee and the administration was fully engaged in putting a number of options from the outside. And we had great choices, and I think this one ends up being terrific because of the things the mayor cited, in particular the wellness program. Also, just want to mention that the agreement includes increases in employee contributions on a biweekly basis, and that assists the city in taking down the amount of the increase, because it's a shared increase in expense.
So we tried to find somewhat of a balancing. It's very imbalanced to begin with, but the discipline on behalf of the employees to participate with some monetary contribution is important. And I think that the overall strategy of wellness being a priority, and the fact that we've had success, and it's reflected in our pricing for this next time segment, makes a big difference. So that's why you've got all the data. You've had hopefully you've had enough time to review some of it. At least we've tried to be transparent in terms of our memos over the past since April. And hopefully you're comfortable with moving forward, which if you are, we're prepared to implement. If it's going to take some more time, we are comfortable with that as long as it's not too much time. Or you don't want us to go in a different direction.
Fair that in. That increase is 0.5% as far as contribution from the employees, from 8.5 to 9.
That's correct.
Correct. Prior, though, just so you know, last year's really wasn't a true 8.5%, so that's why it seemed a little bit higher on, especially the HSA family. Because with going with ERC last year and having the employees get an actual physical, it was the committee's recommendation and the city agreed last year that, and the council, that we would just keep the rates the same. So it really wasn't a true 8.5 as far as what the actual premium was that we were being charged from Anthem. So I just want to clarify that. So if you think it's a little high, it's really not. Because really on the family, it would have been like $58 instead of $50.
I see. And the this is the first increase since 2018 is for the contribution.
Correct.
That's correct.
Very good. Any questions from council of Letitia or?
One last thing. When we,
I think Kathleen has a comment, I think.
We had
Hey, Davis. Mayor, do you want to go first? You
can go. Please. The only thing is I'd hoped that my request to the committee was I was hoping that they would vote unanimously supporting it, because I know how important that is for council to embrace the efforts of the committee as well as administration. So I'm not sure it got articulated that way, but at least everybody knows that the goal was to show council that we're on a united front in terms of all the other people that were engaged with this process.
Thank you, Mayor. Kathleen?
I would first start out my comments by saying that we could remind ourselves what the two primary goals are of this committee, and it's to decrease employee and city health care expenses when we can. So the committee takes it seriously. They know there was an increase here, but again, as Letitia pointed out, we felt that it was value for our dollars that we were getting. Our second goal, though, and we can't lose sight of this, is to promote wellness and to decrease health costs. So as Mayor pointed out, we have such a large participation with our employee group. We want to keep that momentum going. And we do believe that if we can do that, it's going to, in the long run, first give us a healthier employee population, but secondarily to decrease our healthcare costs in the long run. So we don't want to lose sight of that. And that's what drove us also to renew our current contract, because we felt so favorable about the services we were getting from the providers. I want you to know as well, if you think you got a lot of paperwork, you should have been a member of the committee. You'd be drowned in paperwork. Letitia was kind enough to give me a little timeline here. You know, it seems like we're getting this quickly and we need to act on it quickly, but that's because we need to move everything forward so that we can go in with our July enrollment and get everything prepared for that, which you can only imagine what that involves. But looking at what Letitia said, we're kind of at the mercy of the market, and the market does what it has to. And April 21st, we got our ERC health renewal statewide announcement, so we knew where we were at. And then there was some, you know, we had other providers we had looked into, and we had those meetings going on. Then it was things back and forth with the mayor's executive committee so we could get some more direction from them too and insights. And this committee kept working. We had one day where Letitia put us through four meetings, just in one day. I want you to know that. But you think council is bad. But, you've heard me say this before, and I will be making some remarks in my written commentary as well. This committee, both from the administrative end and the employee end, works harder than any committee I've ever been on. They really take it to task. They look at everything. And they started talking about other potential future cost-saving issues or opportunities, so be aware of that. I mean, we were looking at things like, should we go down the line, look at considering some self-insurance, you know? Were there other programming that we could put into place that might help with spousal carve-outs? I mean, there were a lot of things that may be given consideration in the future. So please know the diligence with not only the workforce of the committee members on this, but with their perspective that It's, yes, it's about watching containment of dollars, but it's also about spending the dollars we do in the most profitable way for the city and for the employee and the health. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. So thank you.
Yeah, we did review and expose any questions that I was being asked over the last 3 or 4 months. And so I hopefully we exposed everyone that you members of council and other people had brought to our attention, just to play, if nothing else, we played what if. It was a good exercise, a lot of work, as Councilwoman Kapusta said, a lot of work, but it was well worth it.
Yes, and I, if I may, I just want to introduce Ron Boynar. Ron is from Oswald. He's on the call right now as well, and he's been our partner for the last 18 months. And should you approve these two pieces, he will be involved in the next 12 months as well, kind of supporting us as we move forward.
I would be remiss if I didn't say how responsive the Oswald Group has been to our committee, whether it's at the committee meetings and their constant presence, the data that they provide to us, as well as responsiveness to any questions. So we greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, Oswald's been great. Anthem, not as stellar as Oswald, but we got through that exercise. But I will say this, I mean, I think we're here because with this recommendation, because of the team that Oswald has put together. They're very responsive. They are very cordial. If they don't have an answer, they will get you one. And that weighed heavily in terms of, because there was a lot of competition this time. And so everybody knows that everybody puts their best foot forward. And in this case, that your left foot or right foot, depending if you're left-handed or not, was good enough.
Thank you. Ron, would you like to introduce yourself and let us know what you thought of the whole process and everything too?
Yes, Vice Mayor, thank you very much. Mayor Kirch, we appreciate your leadership. Thank you. Leticia, thanks so much for your guidance. Kathleen, those are very nice comments. We appreciate it. And thank you all, council members. The partnership's fantastic. We, you know, as Mayor had said, we explored all options. And the city had also explored options that Oswald didn't have access to. So no doubt there was a comprehensive search for the best program for the city. And in the end, ERC Health, although there was an increase, it provides so much value to the employees, and I think the employees recognize that. The city won Rookie of the Year as part of the ERC Health program. The participation rates that the city saw, we don't see with any other group. It was impressive, and you know, your leadership, you know, drove that, and the wellness is really working, and we expect it to work in the future. We will continue, as Kathleen said, to explore all options. And you know, make sure that the city is getting the best deal and the best value for its employees. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Ron. Council, are there any questions either of Ron or of Kathleen, who is on the committee, or the mayor or Leticia? Not hearing, not seeing any hands raised at everything. Leticia, like I said, you gave a very good summary of the whole process and how it came about, and talking with Kathleen and then hearing the mayor and everything. It was a joint effort, and that committee has been stellar for years. I mean, in previous decisions too, Kathleen, I know you've been on it for a number of years. I think previously Doc Asaf was also a member of that too. So we're really comfortable. We're getting people that are well invested as far as our employees, as well as the executive branch and the legislative branch getting together and really putting a lot of effort and time into this, and providing quality information for us, making our decision making a little bit easier because of the time and effort that you put in. I want to thank every member of that committee for again for sacrificing their time to make that a reality, that we're getting hopefully the best possible solution.
Yeah, you do what your coach would tell you to do. If it was me, I'd be doing a few stride outs now just to keep my heart rate up so it's not going down.
All right, Vern, thanks.
Hey, Vern.
Very good.
Ron, that's part of the exercise.
Yeah.
I love it. That's good.
Very good. Well, Ron, thank you. It's a pleasure getting to meet you, and hopefully we'll have a good relationship for years to come, at least we know for the next 12 months, and then beyond that, too. So, Council, I know Leticia had requested that we approve this tonight so that they can get started in all what needs to be done as far as getting the enrollment activity, open enrollment started here by late May and early June. So we're not really up against it if we wait another month and approve it in June. So any opposition to voting on that this evening? And
Mayor, is that Ron knows that the calendar clicks by Oswald's going to have a branch in Independence to be competitive next time, right?
Ooh.
Well, we'd certainly welcome you to open office. There's one
behind by the way, he had a, by the way, in all fairness, he had to do better than two other finalists who have a home court advantage over him. So that's quite a mountain to climb, Ron. Your team deserve a lot of credit, you and your team.
Thank you, Mayor.
Very good.
We'll see what we can do then, about the location.
If I hear nothing to the contrary, we will put this on the consent agenda, both the ordinance 2021-64 and 2021-65.
Thank you, everyone. And I know that some members have to take off. So, Ron, thank you. And, Leticia, thank you. For the rest of them that have a tight schedule, thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, members that could do it. Thank you, Leticia, very much. And also Maggie for your contribution, too.
Thank you.
I guess we'll move back to the agenda part. Let me see, get my paperwork back. We're looking at, on second reading, this is ordinance number 2021-35. It's ordinance amending Chapter 351, parking generally of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence to prohibit overnight parking on public streets during winter months from December 1st, I believe, to April 15th is the time frame that's in the legislation. Except there's a three-minute rule, I think, in there for emergencies and things of that nature. I guess this being introduced by Jim and Chris, gentlemen, I'll let you have the floor first to explain again this legislation.
Vice Chair, before you do, just so the audience, that the title didn't capture the entire ordinance. It's prohibiting parking on one-way roads as well.
Oh, yes, that's
during,
in the body.
During non-winter months, just entirely.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Jim or Chris, you want to comment on this?
Chris, go ahead.
Okay. Like I said last month, it's not a ordinance to trouble residents for parking in the streets for parties and birthdays and holidays and family visits and stuff. It's more or less in my book. Just a safety hazard for school buses and our children. The mayor putting that sign up on Wood Street within the last month has worked tremendous for that one, and I've already had calls from Tom about this. That's a lot easier for our busing there. So like I said, it's a safety hazard. We spent a lot of money on our new winter snow plowing with brining, and we have vehicles parked overnight. We cannot get streets properly brined, especially if they're parked by stop signs where you have to stop and you want that salt working. I've had comments about how do we know if they're parked overnight, they're not just parked in the morning. We all know when we drive around in the morning, we see vehicles that have snow on them or ice on them or frost on them. We know they've been there overnight. So, that's why Jim and I had, had long discussions with this ordinance, and we think it's going to help.
Yeah, and obviously, in addition to that, you're talking about safety vehicles, getting in and out of streets, and so, with large amounts of cars parked or vehicles parked on streets during times of heavy snow, after the heavy snow is what you're dealing with. Now you have icy conditions, areas that have not been work done, and it creates an issue for residents trying to pull in and out because you've got these large mounds there. You know, we just felt that with the modern technology of what our service department is doing, that we should really try to give them as many tools as possible to allow that brining to work. And I think that was one of the big driving factors that we had around this, that we do have a change in how we are plowing our streets. And when you have vehicles that are on the streets, you know, you can't plow those areas, you can't brine those areas, and it creates a bit of a problem for us going forward. So as we had suggested in the last meeting, you know, we know that this is a change. We could always change this later on through function. We have not gone through a winter like this, but I know we've had a number of these snowfalls with heavy snow up front for the first couple of hours. And if you had vehicles parked on the streets there, you know, it would prevent us from doing the job that we needed to get done. So if by function this is not functioning properly, you know, I think it's our willingness to try to keep changing this. That's why I always say Ohio has an Ohio revised code. You can revise it anytime once you realize and innovate. And it's the same thing here. I mean, we want to be sensitive to, we've got a vision as to how to do this, but if it's not correct, we could always go back and correct it. And we want to be sensitive to that. I think Mayor Kurtz said that functionally, he would try to monitor it as well and make recommendations to see how this worked. If it's not working as intended, we can scrap it, we can make changes to it. So we hope that very legitimate concerns and objections about the change could be handled in that manner. But ultimately, we do think that public safety is paramount, and this increases public safety.
So it's my understanding that this legislation says there's no parking on the streets at any time during these, from December 1st to April 15th. Because we currently have we have an ordinance that says there's no parking from midnight or from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I believe.
Correct.
But this would be if there is somebody's going to have a party in their neighborhood or everything or on one of the side streets, they would not be able to park in the street then unless they get even. I don't think your allowance would allow the mayor to approve a permit for a Christmas party or a birthday party or that.
Really?
That's my understanding.
I think it would. That was the intent.
Because it puts the mayor in a situation, you're getting all these permits, you got to pay a fee, I think, for the permit and everything else.
Really?
I they have that you're supposed to, I think.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I
know some cities have snow bans when weather's going to reach a certain point, and I can see that being a real threat if we're going to have a snowstorm and everything, but our winters have been so mild lately, it seems like that's the exception rather than the rule. And I hate to see, you know, neighbor to our neighbor, if you have some parking on the street and they're mad because one of their unfavored neighbors is having a party, they'll call the police on it. I can just see, I don't know,
We'll monitor. If we have to make some changes, we can make some changes.
The feedback I've gotten from residents is not favorable on this, and I can see some of the. I can see when there's a real problem with the weather, inclement weather, or
this
ice weather.
That I sent her of the
team. Oh, I don't know who's talking there. Kathleen, you had your hand up?
Yes, I did. Okay, so I just would like some clarification. Since we do have the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. parking ban, and since this legislation just uses, I think, the nebulous term of overnight with no hours defined, why wouldn't our current one be adequate? I'm just trying to understand.
I think the biggest problem is it's not being enforced.
Well, enforcement versus legislation is a different issue to me. I can respect that if you're saying that, Chris. Then maybe we need to, you know, talk with our administrative end and see about getting it enforced. I don't know why we would necessarily layer another level of legislation. Now, having said that, I also think we need some good education to our residents about the brining process and why you both even introduced this, because that was, you know, new to me too. And I've been getting some negative feedback from residents as well, but I think it's that they don't understand. I think if more people understood we have this new process, we definitely need to keep it up, and then we need to enforce the current legislation that we have on our books. That'd be my thought.
think the difference is that this is not just overnight. This manifests itself 24 hours a day, and so the legislation deals with 24 hours a day, not just overnight.
Well, no, the legislation said they can never park on the streets? Is that
right.
What you said?
Not during those months.
Not during those months.
Gotcha.
Dale.
This legislation, we're talking about banning all parking from the late fall all the way into the early spring, 4.5 months. If I do my math correctly, that's close to 150 days. Probably have a dozen plus or minus snow events. I have also received only negative responses to this legislation. I know that we've managed in the past, as indicated, putting a sign on Wood Street managed to clear up a minor problem there that people parked further back. We have legislation in place from 2 to 6, and I have had contact with the police department encouraging them to hand out reminders and follow up. Basically, it's a really kind of an overstep as far as level of legislation for a small handful of people that don't get it off the road. Now, if you're talking about a snow ban, when the specific snow is about to happen, that makes sense to me. That especially during times when snow is, it's not restricted to falling only at night. I mean, it falls during the day also. But so many of the restrictions requiring license numbers of people, permits, I mean, it's a real complicated piece of legislation that is put in place mainly when we could solve the problem by simply enforcing what's there and possibly having a snow ban for snow events. So I am definitely against this piece of legislation.
Thank you, Dale. Ken? Ken?
So I guess two points. First, I've heard other members of the council talk about, well, let's put this on the books so that we can always change it later. That sounds good now, but as a practical matter, we have a responsibility to make laws and ordinances that are appropriate as they're written, not we kind of know half-baked at the get-go, we'll come back and revisit this later. I just think that's a poor way to go about this. Let's figure out what we need to do and write something that we think we all believe in and can last over time. This is an invitation to, the way this is written now, it's an invitation to selective enforcement, and that's not good, not right. The other question or concern I have is, I've heard council members talk about this being a safety issue, but I haven't heard anything from the service department or the police chief, and I wonder if those people who are on the front lines have any information they could share with council as relates to problems inherent in residents parking cars on this.
Well, I can speak as a safety director. I can speak to the fact that the difference between now and years ago when this was put in place was that we didn't have that larger equipment. We didn't have brining as an option for safety to pre-treat our streets. And the size of the equipment's just changed. And so that's one element that needs to be taken into consideration. We can talk about this. We can leave it at first reading and then review the concerns that council has raised and come back with something that we can put our arms around and explain why we're doing it and in real terms what needs to be done to fix it in the future. So I would have no problem with leaving it on first reading if one of the sponsors wouldn't care until we maybe we could better define to and those that are objecting to it can weigh in as to something they think is palatable.
Well, if I could just ask for other, you know, my other colleagues, just either email myself or email Jim with how you feel we should amend it, and then we can, Jim and I can go over all that and make it what's best suited for us.
Like Chris and Jim, I applaud you fellows for your effort here in drafting this. My thought, and I think I heard Dale say it too, is that that if there's some kind of a storm warning or there's a a real threat that we're going to have ice here. So I can see, because the mayor, with his swift reach, can reach everybody in town and say, hey, you know, there's going to be no parking on the streets because of this imminent strike. But to have it just a general ban, if this was when I was growing up, but maybe in the late 70s, 80s, when we were going through an ice age, I think it would make sense because we were having the constant snow, I think, all the time. But now, lately, it's been so mild that we've had only a very few snow events. And I think that we could take care of that. That's my two cents worth as far as making it only under snow conditions or icy conditions, that just and have a real reason for it, for safety and effectiveness of our service department, as opposed to having a general ban and having headaches galore and restricting people's rights to, you know, to enjoy having a get-together during the holidays or birthdays. They can't park on the streets. You're going to have to park. But who knows what they would do. And if, you know, you have police involved, to inform people at a party, you know, they can't park on the street. It's a nightmare. I think it's a good reasoning there, and I think we have to go back to the drawing board, maybe restrict it severely to situations where there's true worries about safety in that.
You know, I'll take the initiative to make sure the safety forces and everything to councilman. The sponsors, if you remove it from the agenda, I believe there's something that something that can be crafted that's amenable to some of your colleagues as well as the general public. It is a safety issue when there's cars parked in that overnight and there's a whiteout or a storm you can't see. It's just not fair to the snowplow. It's not fair to our safety forces. It's not fair to the ambulances, the size of the equipment we have. So there's something to be said. I just think we need to take a step back in order to find something that will be good for everyone long term.
And then here we
are. I totally agree, and I think this is excellent feedback, and this is exactly the way the legislative process is supposed to work. I mean, we've gotten good testimony here, and then I think we could craft something that makes better sense.
And we could even make it as easy as just, instead of just having from 2 to 6, you know, 2 in the morning to 6 in the morning, have it go from, you know, 10 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock, you know, expand the hours, and or have, like, depending on weather conditions. But I think we could put something together that's less restrictive and it would be, I think, more palatable for people to, you know, to accept.
It's a good first step, gentlemen.
Yeah, you did a great job. Like I say, you started the dialogue. That's half the battle right there. So we'll be removing that from tonight's agenda then, for us to continue work on it. We can work on it, Tom, in your safety committee or even a council workshop for that, because it is important. We have time now because the we're heading into the springtime, but still we like to get something.
Are we?
Hopefully.
And we have on Mother's Day.
Well, that's true. There's no telling our weather now. You have to be ready for anything.
I thought I'd do a swift reach on Sunday. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But if you would remove it from the agenda, the sponsors, and we can work on this. And if there's something more concrete for next week, we put it back on with an amended.
Very good. Well, thank you. I guess so. We'll remove this from the agenda this evening, fellas. We'll move on to the. First reading, ordinance number 2021-58. It's an ordinance authorizing a mutual aid agreement with the Board of Park Commissioners of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District on behalf of the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department. Mayor, I'll hand the floor over to you.
Oh, sure. Do you really want to hand it over to me?
Yes, well, I think we've all seen that. I think you and RV have already signed the contract.
It's kind of like we're ahead of the game here, really. It's not something that's going to affect us other than function and cooperation. I think that's probably the key word. It just makes it easier for us to cooperate with Metro Parks and National Park and all the different entities that we have to overlap with.
Is this in part with the Hemlock Trail and things of that nature, or is it more wide, wider scope than that?
You know, quite frankly, I don't know. I'm not sure the full scope.
I've seen their cars up by Hemlock Trail, by the beginning of Hemlock Trail, right? They drive up there, they sit there for a while, and then they leave. I don't know.
Is this the Metro Parks one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was explained to us earlier today while the mayor was still at that funeral that there is a small section of the towpath trail that is in Independence, and so that's why the Metro Park just wants to have the agreement in place with Independence. It's kind of more of a formality.
Well, it also having it in place also allows them to avail themselves to subdivision immunity as well.
Mr. Vice Mayor, on this one,
yes,
just a question. So where does this give the Metro Parks jurisdiction? Only in that section of town where the towpath trail is, or can they go in other places?
The Chief Kilbane said they're only allowed to site in their jurisdiction, not ours, but they need this agreement for them to still be able to patrol evidently in our city, something like that. But there's no cost, and I don't think there's any downside to it.
My only concern is I know that the Highway Patrol's got access, and they actually pull people over on Pleasant Valley Road, and I've had some concerns about that as well. I mean, their abilities. I just wanted to make sure that this is restrictive only to where they have jurisdiction and not anywhere else.
Somebody joked and said, hey, if I'm going down Pleasant Valley and there's a Metro Park ranger and he sees me going 45, can he or she cite me? And Chief Kilbane said a definite no.
Okay. Yes,
Councilperson Tragus, the main purpose of this is for the big event where, you know, one of the jurisdictions needs a lot of manpower. It's identical to the mutual aid agreements we have with the surrounding suburbs. It doesn't mean that Valley View or Seven Hills or Brecksville is going to come in and start, you know, enforcing traffic laws in our city. But if we have something that overwhelms our resources and we need extra bodies or extra resources, that's where they lend them to us or we lend them to them. The Met Parks has some resources that would be useful to us in certain situations. They have a mounted unit, which would enable us to, you know, conduct searches in parts of the wooded areas that are in our city. They also have a very highly capable dive unit for water rescue as well. Those are capabilities we don't have locally, but if, you know, one of those incidents occurred here under this mutual aid agreement, you know, Chief Dolan would be able to provide those for us.
Copy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Dale.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but does the Metro Parks also have some permanent parcels that they own in Independence?
I believe you're correct.
They're pretty
early on,
right? They're pretty much isolated pieces.
Early on, before the National Park really took a foothold, Metro Parks was in taking different parcels throughout Cuyahoga County, and so there is an overlap in some respects.
So this is strange, but so they would have some jurisdiction in their little pieces, parts that are scattered around town.
Very limited, as the chief indicated. Very limited.
Thank you.
So basically, this agreement is similar to what we have with other neighboring communities and everything, and just there's no cost factor to it and everything. It just supplements, like the chief mentioned, more resources that we could use in the event of maybe a possible body being missing on the Cuyahoga River, things of that nature. We'd be able to use their services and expertise. Any opposition to not voting on this evening? And we'll put this on a consent agenda if I'm, see everybody. Okay, Debbie, we'll put this on the consent agenda. Chief, okay. Thank you for your input. We move to ordinance number 2021-59. This ordinance amending ordinance 2019-7, authorizing a $9,000 increase in the amount of funds requested for professional services by American Fireworks Company for the city's 2021 fireworks displays. And I don't know if Chief Riga is on.
Yes, I'm here.
There we go, Chief. We discussed this, I know, at the workshop, I believe. It was touched around briefly. Chief, can you explain it again to us?
Yeah, that's correct. We had such a successful December show with the tree lighting that it was thought to do that again this year. So that would cause us to have two shows. The amount of money that we have allotted this year really wouldn't provide for the quality show that we're looking for both shows. So in order to do that, because we have additional expenses for setup and crews for two different shows, we're looking to increase that budget so that we have a quality show for the summer months and then the one in December for the tree lighting. We're also requesting that we move the show to the Home Days event this year. And that particular show, instead of being 22 minutes long, it'll be more like 16 to 18 minutes long. So that little bit reduction in time will still give us the same quality show, but it's just a shorter duration, and it should give us a very good show for December as well.
Very good. Any questions for the Chief? Dale?
A couple of the questions that I brought up at the workshop, I'm curious about the answer. Obviously, if the Home Days gathering, a lot of that is targeted to residents having an opportunity to get together. Having a fireworks show in that situation that would tend to gather people from lots of surrounding communities and lots of extra people during the COVID, I'm not sure that we thought that whether or not that would be a good idea. I know that we didn't have the fireworks in the 4th of July last year. Obviously, having a giant 4th of July fireworks isn't a good idea, but moving it to Home Days doesn't sound to me like a really sensible idea, in the fact that you're having an event that is more targeted to outside people during an event that we're trying to get our residents together and have an opportunity to be able to connect with each other. So, I mean, they're opposing ends, I think, of what we're trying to make safe for our residents and what we're trying to make a large show for people in surrounding communities.
Well, I think there's a couple of things we consider when looking at Home Days this year. A lot of cities are moving their events to later in the year, so we'll probably have some competition on that particular weekend with other events. Also, the way we're setting it up, it's not like our typical July 4th setup where things are located or centralized around the ball diamonds. Things are going to be very spread out this year, utilizing Civic Center, the Rec Center area, pretty much our whole campus there. So things will be spread out a lot more, which I think will help with the social distancing. And this is also not a national holiday where we have a lot of gatherings going on. So it could be that during at Home Days, we'll definitely probably increase our attendance at Home Days, but I don't think it's going to be to the level that you'd see for a July 4th event. And the other thing is, too, just working with our vendors, moving the venue from the center of town to Home Days, or to the park, rather, there's some concern about, losing some of the people that would, patronize that particular event. Our amusement ride company is concerned about that. So adding something like 4th of July, like adding fireworks, could add to that to help facilitate better attendance. And then you also have the fact that, currently we have some restrictions being loosened up where people outside that are vaccinated could be together without masks on. I think as we continue to move on through the summer, you'll see vaccinations continuing. We might be in a better position, later in August.
And I'm not sure we're going to make a big announcement outside our city of Home Days, because it's Home Days, and we was very well received at the winter when we did it, and we didn't advertise it, so I'm not sure we have the same dynamic as the Chief articulated about 4th of July and big crowds, but you know what? I'm fine with just getting it done.
Well, I feel like, when we have it on July 2nd, which is our traditional, that's about the only fireworks show in town, or very few going at the same time, and it's a half-hour show with that, so people do come from all around. The show's going to be half as long now and everything, and it's going to be up against, it's not on a holiday, people don't have to, they'll have competition to go to their own Home Days or other festivals, so like the Chief said, I think that, the attraction won't be as great. I don't think people will come great distance to see a 15-minute show and everything. It'll just be a nice camper for the people in town that are up there, and kind of like it was a nice camper at the Winterfest last year and everything. So, yeah, I don't think it would cause a big problem. Dale?
Well, I will add, I did enjoy the fireworks at the Winterfest. You know, I would support a longer show at that time, but just the risk of enlarging the event to outsiders makes me very concerned about it.
No, well taken, well noted. Any other comments from council? We're kind of going over uncharted territory with the home base being in a new venue, and of course with the the COVID situation, everything else, it remains to be seen. And I don't think there's going to be any local booths. Aren't they going to be basically music, you know, music venues and food trucks, I believe. So it's a little different than our usual home base. Jim.
Thank you. This is not germane to the discussion, so I'll defer it till later. But I just want to get on the record, I think we should talk about home days, because one of the ideas of home days is to invite people who no longer live in town to come back, right? So is that part of the plan? And then obviously the high school has reunions from the Alumni Association, or is that going to be encouraged? So I think there's some more to talk about on home days, not necessarily on this fireworks issue, but I do think we should have more broader discussions on what the policies are going to be related to home days.
If someone would like to attend one of our home day sessions, we'll let Joe the schedule, and you're more than welcome to join, because this is a new uncharted waters, as was indicated earlier, but the consensus of everyone was, if you're ever going to try something different, this is the time to try it. And so with the COVID vaccine starting to become more ingrained, and the fact that we're spread out in a bigger venue, and the leadership and the whole team of Home Days Committee felt this is the best way to try something, stay out front of it, but your counselor, anybody wants to join in, or more than willing to share that with you.
Thanks. Please do, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other comments or questions?
I wouldn't want to eliminate the fireworks from home days. I mean, we can't just keep taking stuff away from the residents. So, I mean, it is what it is. If people are going to come in from out of town, they're going to come in from out of town. I don't think it's going to be overwhelming like our normal 4th of July's were. I mean, it's a month after the 4th of July. So I think it would be a nice touch for our residents to have it at home days. Something new, starting a new tradition. It might be a good thing for the city.
Yeah, we're going to learn. That's all I can tell you, is we're going to learn from this.
Very good. Well, then, if there's no further comments, we will put this on the, we'll put it up to a vote today, because I think we need to move on this sooner than later. I believe, Chief, we should vote on that this evening.
And, yeah, I think it's important we do that, because the display company is going to start actually preparing the shows, and they have to line up equipment and so forth and crews. If we go a different route, then they might need a smaller crew. That's a different group. So they were hoping to get a decision within the next week or so.
Very good. So we'll vote on that this evening, so we can render that decision. And Dale, is there people opposed to this, that we don't put it on the consent agenda? Just put it up for a vote?
Don't put it on the consent agenda.
Okay, we'll put this up, but we'll have a vote this evening.
Thank you.
Ordinance number 2021-60. Thank you, Chief, for your input. This is an ordinance amending ordinance number 2003-38, which declared improvements to certain parcels of real property to be a public purpose, described the public improvements to be made to directly benefit such parcels, required the owners of the improvement on such parcels to make service payments in lieu of taxes, establish a Pleasant Valley Quadrant Municipal Public Improvement Tax Increment Equivalent Fund for the deposit of such service payments pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Sections 5709.40, 5709.42, and 5709.43. And basically, they, Mayor, if I stand correct, this is just to take the property where the CSA is building their new new building there and everything, and taking it off the old TIF so this way we can start the clock running new when they have this built.
Exactly. It's no longer a broad stroke. It just isolate. We isolate and then we take full advantage of the TIF opportunity.
Because I believe it's 30 years. I mean, it runs 30 years. So that's what we're doing. The property at 8801 Pleasant Valley Road, which is CSA America Testing, just bought, and they'll be building their new structure. So it's to capture as much TIF revenue as we can.
Exactly.
Very good. Any questions regarding that? And anybody opposed to that? Seeing none, that'll be on the consent agenda, Deb. Okay. Now we'll move to ordinance number 2021-61. It's an ordinance amending section 72507 of the codified ordinances of the City of Independence relating to false alarms. And Mayor, any...
Dave, do you want to explain why we need this additional information, well, go ahead, Chief, you can do it.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, both of these go together. They're an additional tool, the toolbox. What we've seen is many of our businesses are very responsible citizens. They do a great job of controlling what goes on at their premises and addressing problems as they come up. But there are a few that don't do such a good job that they tend to draw a disproportionate amount of our safety resources, both police, fire, the building department gets involved. And this gives a mechanism for the city to address anybody that's using disproportionate amounts of the city's resources, because it's unfair to everybody else that's playing by the rule book and doing things the right way, that just a few are, you know, constantly having us respond there. The false alarm ordinance, that's basically for people that fail to maintain their alarm system, and the police and fire are constantly responding down for false alarms. Again, the vast majority of businesses, if they get an alarm, there's a problem with the alarm, they fix it right away, there's not a problem. Occasionally, every once in a while, there's one that just doesn't care, doesn't do it, and, you know, it's expensive, and there's inherent hazards with both, you know, our officers and Chief Regan's, you know, fire equipment responding to these alarms. And that's just to make sure that, you know, obviously things are going to break. There's going to be mechanical difficulties. The law director has language in there, too, that if it's, you know, due to a telephone system problem or, you know, a technology problem, they're not held responsible for something beyond their control. But if it's a maintenance issue that they're responsible for, then it can be counted against them with repeat offenses. The nuisance ordinance goes a step further and provides a mechanism for the city, after repeated numbers of responses for public nuisances to a particular commercial location, the city is able to subsequently recoup costs and declare it a nuisance and take actions to make sure that there's no single entity that's being a disproportionate draw on the city's resources.
That would be Ordinance 62, Vice Mayor.
I see. Is there a problem right now, Chief, as far as we are experiencing some problems with some of the commercial enterprises?
Yes, again, it's only a handful, probably less than half a dozen, where, you know, you look at our call logs and you see, I know, in the weekly report I put out, the amount of calls that we do down on Rockside Road, and, you know, it's the lion's share of our business for the police department, and, you know, I can't speak for Chief Riga, but I imagine his paramedics spend their fair share of time down in that area as well. And within that, you know, Rockside corridor,
your one
there's
screen
a very few
is
places
that you're
that
muted, and the other
are frequent
one
flyers
is
that
you're
we're constantly
not
responding to. The flip side of that is there's several locations that we're very rarely or never responding to.
Okay.
So we'd like to even the playing field a little bit.
Very good. And I think this 61 also pertain to residential premises too, I believe.
I believe we already have the residential ordinance in effect.
Yeah, we made no change by Vice Mayor to the residential. It's always been on the books and it stayed the same.
Very good.
Very good.
And it speaks to the character of our residents that we've never had to enforce that nuisance ordinance because, you know, we it's never risen to that level with any particular residents where we've had to make repeated responses there.
So, but in subsection B, it does speak to the residential. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
Yes, I thought I'd read a residential.
The $25, component. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was our, that's on our books currently, and the amount has not changed, and the numerosity number has not changed.
I think that, yeah, I think that's what he was referring to, though.
I think we just moved that from section A to section B now, I believe, is what we did. It was currently on a section A. Any questions for Chief Kilbane or Ken?
Is the commercial fine rate of $75, is that sort of the market rate for this sort of thing, or could we or should we assess a higher?
I'm not familiar what the going market rate is, but again, it's not intended, the $75 fine isn't intended to be punitive, it's more intended to get their attention. You know, a lot of the times the commercial entities, is if they're getting warnings, they just sort of, okay, yeah, but when, you know, somebody in the finance department, if you were to go down to Vern and say, hey, we got to write a $75 check because we didn't take care of our alarm, I imagine that would get somebody's attention, the administration. You know, most businesses run that way, but it's not intended to be a revenue generator or a gotcha sort of thing. It's just, you know, something to let them know that, hey, you've reached this number, now you need to address the problem or it's going to start costing you money.
Of the ordinances I looked at, Councilperson Senek, I saw 50 to 100 and I just split the difference.
I think ultimately, Greg, the city can pull their permit as far as if it, you know, it's chronic and the fines don't work and everything, they can, until they, you know, get that straightened out.
Boy, the answer is yes, but boy, they'd have to, I mean, 13 times in one calendar year, something should be done.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Any opposition to this both these legislations? That we looked to put this, Debbie, both 61 and 62 on the consent agenda. Thank you, Chief. Ordinance number 2021-63. This is an ordinance granting a special conditional use permit for accessory uses. The Saucy Brew Works for a property located at Brockside Woods Boulevard, subject to some conditions that are listed. As you can see, there's, I believe, five of them listed, Greg, in the legislation. And the mayor and I, we've had 3 months of a lot of discussion, a lot of you know, hearings and everything regarding this. Planning Commission did approve this, unanimously 3-0. To move this to council, recommending the adoption of this. They are shy, I believe, if my math's correct, 174 spaces in parking. And that, to me, was the big concern. I know that they could work with the city planner, the engineer, having a peace, you know, with a peace officer to make sure it's the safety of our, of their, the people coming there to that venue. I guess we had talked they're gonna have a coffee venue, which I was interested in, from about 6 in the morning till when they serve lunch. You could come there and get coffee at the kiosk there, but it will shut down when they start serving meals there. But this is a fantastic group of fellows that run this company. It would be a feather in our cap. I think it would be a great addition to that, our neighborhood there of attractions such as Topgolf and the bowling alleys around the corner, everything. The main thing I think, Mayor, just that we get consensus that we have to take care of parking, because to approve this without that parking thing, it would be a great disservice even to Saucy as far as that goes. So we're hoping that everything can ultimately work out in that avenue. Mayor, do you have anything else to add?
Yes, just you summarized very, very well, Vice Mayor. The fact is, we found this as a flaw in the previous approval, and we need to correct it for their benefit as well as ours. So the thought was that Planning Commission, we could move it out of Planning Commission, move it to City Council, with the condition and the caveat and the understanding that that they'll not get a construction permit until the agreement is executed for parking. I think that's what the law director indicated was he was comfortable with, and so the building department and we will not issue a construction permit until we've executed a fully executed a parking permit.
Yep, Mayor, that is correct. I just if Saucy or Representative Saucy is on the call, I'd like to get them to weigh in on that and just so they understand that.
They're not on the call right now.
It'd be in the minutes and thoroughly reflect in the minutes, and we indicated that also in the minutes at the Planning Commission.
Yeah. Jim. Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. Just out of curiosity, at the Planning Commission level, was it discussed any screening or lighting restrictions? I know that, you know, several of the residents who have homes up in that neighborhood have said that, you know, the lights coming from Top Golf have really been, you know, they're on very late at night. And was any of that discussed?
Yeah, it's number one in the landscaping plan. The mayor, I'm sure the mayor has already addressed that with the city planner, and they have, it's, your approval is subject to the approval of the landscape plan, which incorporates lighting.
It does. Thank you. Want to make sure.
Tom, I think you had a comment.
Is there a time frame for this piece of legislation? I mean, how long could this drag on for?
Well, I think it goes dead after a year at most. But I believe that in the discussions that between financing and the cost of the property and the ability to move forward, there are a bunch of moving parts and they all have to come together. And so I don't anticipate, I see here to see some decision on their part as quickly as we can get a decision to help support them. All of our work is to make this work for them. No other community is gonna go the extra mile like we're doing, we're in the process of doing to accommodate a business like this. So we've done a lot of heavy lifting through the economic development director, the strategy, putting this together and trying to negotiate some of this off-campus parking so that everyone can make this a something we can all be proud of. But we created, there were some hurdles that were created that we had to overcome from the beginning, and that's what we're working on. So.
And Mary, listening to them at the meetings, here, because of the cost of building this structure's going up and up, they're eager to get started on this project too, to kind of minimize as much as they can the expense of building their headquarters and this restaurant and that. So they certainly won't be dragging their feet.
No, they own the land. They've committed. They've already purchased the land, and so now we're working hard to try and make this a viable project, full service project. In the worst case scenario, they'd go back to us just a restaurant. So that's where it's at. I mean, there's nothing else to say that we've gone on record numerous times. And I think the entire administration is eager to support this, but it has to be with something that's good for that area. And it doesn't cripple that area in terms of infusion of more need and traffic without the ability to accommodate it.
You're absolutely correct. If we didn't put the stipulation for parking, we'd be doing a disservice to Top Golf and Embassy Suites because people would be parking there and causing kind of unrest between the three property owners. So this has to be addressed. Any opposition to approving this evening?
I don't have an opposition.
Kathleen.
Yes, I have a question, Vice Mayor. So in point number 5, which is above section 1, where we have the blank, how are we handling that?
Councilperson Capusta, that is going to be based upon negotiated with the administration and Saucy Brew Works.
Thank you.
I think, Mayor, if they just wanted to put a restaurant there probably wouldn't be any. It's already zoned for that. But I think we're all the parties are agreed that they're doing something special. Their corporate headquarters can be there, their production facility. They're going to have an event center. They're going to have tours of people that want to tour the brewery and everything. It'll put Independence on the map. But, again, we have to do it right, make sure that there's enough parking places to you know, to satisfy, you know, their needs and our needs.
Vice Mayor, just so the record's clear, if they wanted to put a restaurant there, if it was a huge restaurant, which is the entire space, given their different uses, they probably would still need additional parking, and the issue would still be there. It's the size of the facility in addition to the use.
Yep, right. Very good. Any opposition to this this evening? Or we'll put this on the consent agenda. And we move now to, well, we've already talked about 64 and 65, so we'll move to the last piece of legislation on the agenda. That's ordinance 2021-66, but an ordinance accepting the base bid of Chagrin Valley Paving Incorporated for the city's 2021 asphalt road maintenance and repairs contract. Is Don here with us? There's Don.
Vice Mayor, how are you doing?
Thank you, Don.
Hello, everyone.
I understand there was a bid opening on Friday, Don, and you can let us know there were four bidders. I think five bid packages were taken out and four actual bids. Let us know the results.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Mayor. Yeah, that's correct. The bids came in. We ultimately always try to get them in a date that's more conducive to council agenda, but it was late getting out this year, so we did have five plan holders, four bids, very tight bidding, and all under the engineer's estimate, and we do believe the budget can support the work, but we would recommend that you be in addition to keep it on first reading, and we can have a discussion in detail at a upcoming streets and sidewalks committee meeting.
So you don't need this to be adopted this evening?
I don't believe so. No, I think we can wait.
Because there's a lot on here, and I think Dale would be eager to have a meeting to discuss some of these projects. Is that correct, Dale? As far as
absolutely, I was kind of surprised that it showed up. So I definitely would appreciate the opportunity to sit down and run through the bids. They definitely seem to be very good. I looked through them very carefully. We have a lot of opportunities there, I saw, with the alternates. So, yes, looking forward to that streets and sidewalks meeting.
Very good. And we could approve this. I think the June meeting is earlier. It'd be June 8th, I believe. We'd be able to get this approved and these projects going. I did notice one thing, though, Don, is that on all the alternates, it seemed like Specialized had the lowest bid on almost every alternate.
Yeah, that's it. When you looked at the numbers, yeah, I think they did. But when you add in total, if you sum them all up, it still wouldn't overcome the differential between the base bids.
Very good. Yeah, there's about a $74,000 difference there.
Correct.
Very good. Well, then we'll keep this on the first reading, and it'll be discussed at a streets and sidewalks committee meeting sometime between now and the June meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Dale. And Mayor, that ends the caucus.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, members of council. We have the regular meeting of May 11th, 2021. Clerk will call the roll.
Grindel?
Here.
Capusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Trakas?
Present.
Vavirka?
Here.
Welch-Hanowitz?
Here.
And for to begin, we have a prayer by Father John Malay from St. Michael. Father John, I don't know if you're spending too much time at St. Hall or I'm spending too much time in church, but what the heck. It's good to be with you all day and night.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Father.
I found an old directory. Does anyone know the Shimans? It says they own Sweeties.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they live around here?
Yeah, they're in town, Father.
Yes.
I want to meet them, yeah. Well, I know about Sweeties, I've just never been there.
He hangs around the drug mart. I know my daughter told me she sees him had seen him quite often when she worked there.
Yeah, well, if he's hanging around a coffee shop, I'll go.
Well, they tell him to go to Babes.
My wife
thanks, everyone.
bad thing for me to know is he's own sweeties.
So as the mayor shared, I happen to see him a lot because we've had a lot of residents who recently have passed away. So bring them to prayer this evening and we're on today to give thanks, to pray for our city and those who continue to tirelessly work to make it a place of pride. Yes, you attend to them, O God. Give thanks for the communities that support us, the spouses, friends, neighbors, and loved ones who sacrifice so that we may be here this evening. We pray for all elected officials entrusted with the holy calling of public service. For all those seeking full, meaningful employment, we pray for work and for all seeking education. We pray for compassionate teachers. We grieve with all those who grieve in the city, remembering those who have lost their loved ones. Almighty God, bless the work that is before the City Council this evening, and may every decision made, every phone call, email responded, be found with generosity of spirit. Turn us again, reorient our hearts towards you, and remind us of the truth of the prophet Jeremiah, that in the welfare of the city, we do and always say. And we know you by many names, we pray in the powerful name. Strengthen all those who serve our human family in so many ways. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, friends. Thank you for all your service to our
mayor. If I could for a minute, Mayor, I think Father Malie looks any older to any of us, it was because yesterday he celebrated again his 39th birthday. So happy birthday, Father.
Happy birthday, Father.
39. Thank you. Wow. Don't spread that.
Too. Thank you, Father John.
Thank you, Father.
Take care.
I'm sure I'll see you again soon.
Absolutely.
See you at the burger.
We have the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I have a motion to, a motion to, I have to also, just the finance department, I can't say this enough, that team in the finance department, Maggie's works tirelessly, finance director he does double duty in terms of triple duty, helping our kids become better citizens, helping our city manage its money, helping the administration through his experience, and so I can't think, and here's a good example of this team here working so hard, and it received the GFOA award, the finance department today. And what it really means is that the CAFR, that everything they put together with all the supporting cast, this team right here really does so much, and they're such a resource in so many ways. So thank you very much. With that,
definitely.
I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of April 13th, 2021. And the minutes of the council workshop of April 27th, 2021. And the minutes of the Utilities and Sewers Committee of April 29th, 2021.
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And they're adopted. The reports will be submitted. My report revolves around, which I'll submit, the health news, and things are moving in the right direction with COVID. I can't say enough about how hard the employees for this city work to continually ensure that anyone that we come in contact is we give them healthy environments to go to, and we'll keep opening things up gradually. The other thing is the city's beautification. Maintaining and improving the city's appearance is so important. That's why we're going to and continue to work hard to enforce the city's exterior maintenance code. We're stepping up enforcement. We've added a new dynamic to that in that we do face-to-face, in-person discussions to kick off a discussion that could be contentious. We no longer just write a letter. We try to meet with people to find out if there's a dynamic that we are not aware of or some circumstance. be sensitive to, but on the other hand, we've also feel that we've been abused by some residents, and we're taking the more aggressive steps of letters and then the citation. So bear with us as we continue to work to try and abate some of these issues and these property owner issues. With that, my report will be submitted along with all yours, I'm sure. Well, let's see, on the agenda tonight, we removed 2021-35. We have ordinance 2021-59.
Title only.
Second.
Favor. Aye. Opposed. An ordinance amending ordinance 2019-7 authorizing a $9,000 increase in the amount of funds requested for professional services by American Fireworks Company for the city's 2021 fireworks displays.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Trakas?
Aye.
Vavrka?
No.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And it's adopted. And then we have ordinance 2021-66.
Title only.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance accepting the base bid of Chagrin Valley Paving, Inc. for the city's 2021 asphalt road maintenance and repairs contract.
And that will remain on first reading. The remaining is a part of the consent agenda items. They are considered to be routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. Discussion by council is desired in any consent agenda item. The item must be removed from the consent agenda and considered in its normal sequence under the regular order of business. I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
This would be a motion to read the consent agenda by title only.
So moved.
Second.
On favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Go ahead, Deb.
I'm going. Ordinance 2021-58, an ordinance authorizing a mutual aid agreement with the Board of Park Commissioners of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District on behalf of the Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department to share municipal resources. Ordinance 2021-60, an ordinance amending ordinance number 2003-38, which declared improvements to certain parcels of real property to be a public purpose, described the public improvements to be made to directly benefit such parcels, required the owners of the improvements on such parcels to make service payments in lieu of taxes, established a Pleasant Valley Quadrant Municipal Public Improvement Tax Increment Equivalent Fund for the deposit of such service payments pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Sections 5709.40, 5709.42, and 5709.43. Ordinance 2021-61, an ordinance amending Section 725.07 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence relating to false alarms. Ordinance 2021-62, an ordinance amending Chapter 663 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence relating to criminal activity nuisances. Ordinance 2021-63, an ordinance granting a special conditional use permit for accessory uses to Saucy Brew Works for property located at Rockside Woods Boulevard, permanent parcel number 561-24023. Ordinance 2021-64, an ordinance accepting the proposal of Anthem ERC Health for group medical, prescription, drug, dental, vision, and life insurance coverage for all eligible city employees July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2022. And ordinance 2021-65, an ordinance accepting the proposals of the James B. Oswald Company for professional insurance broker services for the purchase of health care insurance for the city, Revision 1.
I have a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
A motion to adopt the consent agenda. Are there any questions? Call the roll.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Vavrka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And with that, if there's no other business before this honorable body,
there.
You're going to...
There is a question, Mayor, if you want to...
Okay.
In the Q&A in the chat.
Well, I don't know about illegal immigrants. This question is dealing with the homeless that are being housed at the Ramada Inn, formerly the Crown Plaza. I'm not aware of any illegal immigrants. Okay, with that.
Mayor, I also have an email that I received from a resident today. From Danielle Pizzurro. She asked who is eligible stage of homelessness to stay at the facility, the Ramada Inn, and how long is LMM allowing these individuals to stay? Or is this open to any homeless man for a certain amount of time? What is the process? Do they have a curfew in the evening? And if so, what are the protocols if one of these men break curfew or show up intoxicated?
No, those are, I don't have the answer to those questions. I do know that we are working continuously to monitor that situation. We have an ordinance, we have laws, we have, and it's a hotel. If it's not being used at a hotel, it's illegally being used. Zone, it's not been zoned for anything other than what the hotel was originally. And so we are going through every step to make sure that they follow our laws, our rules, and we'll continue the safety forces, and we'll continue to monitor the situation. And as that progresses, we'll be watching everything that goes on to make sure that the safety is the highest priority. So hopefully that answered your question.
I have one more question that just came through. Why are these nuisance ordinances being changed now? Why is it only since the LLM started being housed there? Why were these ordinances not pursued when there were sex trafficking raids at other hotels in the neighborhood?
I think the chief articulated that earlier as to why we made some changes.
And I don't believe, Mayor, that the ordinances on the agenda today were necessarily identified for a particular establishment.
No, they weren't, for sure. I thought the chief articulated that. With that, thank you everyone for attending, and we will now adjourn to an executive session. There will be no action taken after the executive session. And so thank you for attending and participating in your local government.
Mayor, if the reasons going into the record are real estate and pending litigation in Cuyahoga County Court.
Thank you. With that, thank you everyone, and good evening, and God bless.
We end the meeting.
I think we end the meeting with a...
No, we need a motion to go into executive session. And then you will link into executive session with the link that I provide.
Motion to go into executive session for the reasons explained by the law director.
Thank you. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank
see you
Mayor.
There. Thank you, everyone.
Very good.